Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Believing in the fundamentals of the faith. We are trying to teach the basics of Scripture.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
If you don't define terms in your own life related to really what you believe, because if you don't know really what you believe, you will fall for anything. Someone comes along and they're really nice and they're from this nice church and, you know, you like them. And they do a lot of nice things for you. And man, they even got the Bible and they got other writings, but it is not necessarily what people say. It's what they don't say that you have to be careful about. And that's why, and let me use this as a jumping off spot, and then I'll rapidly move through this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in the very end of the book, in verse 16, 17, and 18, and in a very punctuated, short, staccato style, Paul just clicks off, hey, rejoice, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything gives thanks. He says, don't quench the Spirit. Literally, very simply, respond to the prompting and conviction of the Spirit of God. And then notice what he says in verse 20 and 21. Despise not prophesying. Now, what does he mean by that? Very simply, he's saying, don't take lightly prophecies. And what is he talking about, prophecies? He's talking about the spoken revelation of God's Word. And when we had the Word of God completed, in what he is saying is, you don't take lightly the speaking of God's Word, which to us would be what? The Bible. This is the revelation of God. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, don't take that lightly. Then he says, notice, he moves on, verse 21, prove all things. What does he mean by that? What's the word prove mean? Some of you would have the word to test. To test all things. Why does he say that? To give a careful examination of everything, but especially in the context here, to prove all things. When someone is speaking the revelation of Jesus Christ, you need to make sure and prove that and test that. Is that accurate? Then he says, hold fast to that which is good. And in the context, what's he talking about? He's talking about the preaching and people opening up God's Word, that you would hold fast to that, you would embrace the good teachings of God's Word. If it doesn't match up with what is being stated, then you need to be careful of it and avoid it, shun it, don't go near it. And now that's why I'm saying in a church setting, it's a good thing to know, is there things that are out there that are not helpful? And some things you can't end up being around. And so let me define ourselves very quickly because I think it's a helpful thing. We have taken time defining a church, but you should know what you believe and whom you're believing and why you believe it. The centerpiece is Christ. We happen to choose Harvest Baptist Church because Harvest is who we are. Baptist is what we practice, and church is how we function. Now, let me simply make some definitions about, for example, what's a Baptist? Because if you're going to a Baptist church, it'd be good to know what is a Baptist. These are really eight historical tenets of Baptist and really distinguishing teachings from the Scriptures. And I think that you would find as you look at Scriptures that the early church was not known as a Baptist church. And if you find someone that is saying, well, really, the Baptist church traces all the way back a bloodline to John the Baptist, I would put like major red flags up and saying that something's not right there. You cannot trace the Baptist church back to John the Baptist. You can trace the Baptist churches back to the very beginnings of our country. And actually, you could trace them back into Europe for the Anabaptists. But let me state up front again, and you've heard me say it before, I want to make sure we're very clear about this. there are going to be multiple people in heaven that are not Baptists. You don't have to be a Baptist to go to heaven. You have to be a Christian to go to heaven. But it is okay, and you shouldn't shy away from the fact that there are teachings that the Baptist church would end up teaching. At least, let me speak for our Baptist church, that would be taught from Scripture. These are distinctives that you would find even in the early church that practiced. Now, what would they be? For simplicity, let me give you an acrostic. I didn't come up with this, but I think it certainly sums up who and what we are. For example, let me click through these quickly. Letter B would stand for born again, baptized church member. Acts 2:42, after they professed Christ, they were baptized. We're not referring to a denomination here, okay? But it's a Bible distinctive about being baptized, immersed, baptizo, underwater. There are some denominations there that would say, well, baptizing is not being put underwater, it's just being sprinkled. But I think it's real clear if you walk through Scripture, you'd find very simply that we're talking about a Baptist church would teach to be born again. For by grace you saved through faith. It's not yourselves, it's a gift of God. There's only two requirements to be able to join Harvest Baptist Church. One, you need to be born again. Number two, you need to be baptized, scripturally baptized. That's the only requirements we have as a church. Now, I personally said, you know what? Let's take time to talk through some of these distinctives. And if they're agreed to that, then they want to join the church. So, very simply, B is for born again, baptized church membership. Letter A is for the autonomy of the local church. When we're talking about Baptists, and you should know this, say, I belong to Harvest Baptist Church. What does a Baptist believe? You know, I don't know, but man, they're really nice people. That's great. But that's not the right answer. That's not what you want to say. I don't want you to say that. I want you to be able to, I don't think you should whip these out. By the way, I don't think you should respond to that either, but you should be able to understand that A is for the autonomy of the local church. Notice, this describes our position on the Word of God. In other words, we're independent. There are no associations with a national organization. Christ is the head of every congregation. You don't find in the early church anywhere, particularly the book of Acts, any broader hierarchy of connections between churches and that we had to end up as a local church. Thessalonica did not take monies and percentages of that went to the church of Jerusalem and the church of Colossae and Ephesus and Galatia. That didn't happen. You end up finding a situation where every church had its own autonomy, as we do. Letter P is for the priesthood of the believer. The Bible is very clear in 1 Timothy 2:5, 1 Peter 2:9. You have your own position as a priest answering to God himself through Christ, that every believer has direct access to God through Christ. Hebrews 7:25, 20 is very clear. He is his own priest as a believer, and you can personally go to God for forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. There's no distinction between clergy and laity. And in the early church, coming out of the first 100 and 200 years, it developed into a hierarchy where you ended up having those overseers, those bishops, that ended up having a control and an overrule over those, what they would call laity. And that became a huge problem in the early church because, in essence, those people sitting in the pew did not have the ability to read in many occasions. And out of that, you end up having a group of people that were now totally reliant on one person that could read the scripture in Latin and therefore be able to explain that. And that's where you have stained glass, by the way, that came in the early churches because the people could see pictures. So they started putting pictures up in stained glass windows in order for people to see the gospel story. And thankfully, you had a number of people that were gifted in languages and ended up putting the Bible into its common language, which we have today. You don't need to come to Pastor Joe and say, Pastor Joe, would you please, you know, let me confess my sins to you so that you can go to God. And that's not the way the Bible teaches. The Bible is very clear about your freedom through Christ. And thank the Lord for it. It's a great privilege. Letter T, we do practice two ordinances because you will find through Scripture, baptism and the Lord's Supper, those were ordinances. They were ordained to practice as believers. 1 Corinthians 11, Matthew 28, Romans 6 draws the picture of baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are not sacraments. These are not saving graces that we practice in order to maintain our salvation. They don't enhance salvation. They're expressions of a salvation experience. Letter I is the inspiration, sole authority of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16. The Word of God is quick and powerful. And what we mean by that is believing in the fundamentals of the faith. We are trying to teach the basics of Scripture. When you might hear the term fundamentalist, and we use it on occasion here, it just means a born-again Christian who's committed to the literal interpretation of Scriptures and a defense against any who deny its authority. We have responsibilities to say, this is what the Bible says. Write down Jude, verse 3 and verse 4. Jude was the half-brother of James and Jesus himself, a leader in the first church in Jerusalem. He said it this way. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, listen, and exhort you that you should earnestly," literally, intently, "and intensely contend for the faith." In other words, to strive and combat for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. He's saying at one point it was taught and it's been moved away from. And so Jude is saying, listen, you need to, as we are, we're contending for the faith. We are not being contentious. You are fighting for the Word of God. Is it accurate? You say, well, Pastor, you know, I mean, everyone pretty much just believes really what everyone else believes. Really? That's not an accurate statement. Because fact is, look what happened in verse 4 of Jude 4. It says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." Listen, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation? Ungodly men, listen, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. What does he mean there? He would take in the grace of God that was free and given to us for the point of salvation and turned it into lasciviousness. There was a group of believers in the early church that were taking it and saying, boy, you know what? I've got all this grace of God that's given me the liberty to be able to enjoy my relationship with Christ and other people. And they turned it into a liberty in which became licentiousness. And the very Christianity that they say they were living, it developed into a whole immoral situation that was not healthy and it was wrong. And Jude was saying, listen, you better be careful, because just because someone says, I'm a Christian, name the cause of Christ, and that grace of God turns into a lascivious lifestyle. So then that's why Paul said, your life, just as my life, he said in 2 Timothy 3, you knew my doctrine and my manner of life. Why did he say that? You knew my doctrine, my manner of life. Why did he say that? Because he said, you not only know by what I'm teaching, but also you know by what I tolerate. And by the way, my friend, you need to understand, you are not so much known by what you're teaching, but by what you're tolerating, your manner of life. You need to be careful when you have people who say, well, you know, I'm a Christian and open the Bible, that's great. Then it causes you to come back to say, all right, let's look at the Bible. Let's look at those texts, because it will help you to be able to understand that you, as a Christian, can take the Word of God. But you do need to understand that inspiration and that sole authority of Scriptures is given by that. And I wouldn't back away from it. I have some people and I have some good friends that say, well, you know, I just don't want to be called a fundamentalist because, you know, it brings up bad terms. Well, that's okay. But you need to understand, don't back away as well from a definition that is accurate.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.